Song is called Angel Fire, music from Fernando Ortega. And Touch of the Master's Hand, that'd be Wayne Watson with a classic. It's 11 minutes after the hour. It is a Tuesday morning, so none other than Dr. Don Clark, our resident biochemist, joins us for a look at some nasty stuff today, Don. How are you? How are you down there, down in Garden Valley, Texas?
Oh, doing well. Yeah, doing well. Extremely busy working, working in the fields, of course.
Yeah, well, Don does a lot of manual labor in his vineyard out there, raising grapes to make wine. He's an award-winning. Now, the vineyard just grows the grapes, or does he make the wine? A vintner makes wine, right?
A vintner makes wine. That's correct. Yeah,
vineyard just grows the grapes. I'm a vigneron.
Is the guy in charge of the vineyard.
Okay. Well, why is that word French? Don't we have an English word to use for that?
No. We have
grape grower. We could just call him grape grower.
Vineyard manager is the word.
Okay. Yeah. It sounds so corporate, though, you know. It really does. Don, a biochemist, member of the board of Creation Moments, and brings us news of science and faith and creation and evolution, and we kind of tussle with that whole arena of subject matter on these days. And an article popped up at the Mercola website. It's a website we've been to a number of times here on this program, and Dr. Mercola has this thing about diet and health, and brings together research, brings to light research that doesn't seem to get published in a lot of places. Some very informative videos there, and today he's tackling something called glyphosate. Don, what is glyphosate?
Well, it's the active ingredient in a product called Roundup. Mm-hmm. It's a Monsanto product, and it's a herbicide. It was actually originally developed as a antibacterial product.
And well, it's in Roundup. It must be in other herbicides too, huh?
What's that?
I mean, it must be in. Is Roundup the only herbicide out there? Is that's the giant?
Oh, no. There's 2,4-D. There's there's several different types of herbicide, but this is one of the most popular ones. And you know, if you go to Lowe's or your a typical Home Depot type of stores and look for a herbicide, you can absolutely be guaranteed to find Roundup there, and you probably have some in your garage.
Yeah, and you squirt it on weeds in your lawn and cracks in your driveway and sidewalk. But is this the stuff that's also used by crop dusters?
Well, when I went to Canada last year, actually, I found out something that was horrifying because they, and apparently the wheat growers do the same thing, but in order to dry up and make uniform the crop, for example, the folks in Canada were using it on canola because the region, part of the country. I was in.
Grape seed,
was,
I think it is.
Was the canola growing area. And a couple of weeks before they going to harvest the crop, they spray their fields with Roundup, with glyphosate, in order to, you know, kill any remaining crop that hadn't quite ripened yet. And so everything dries out, and then, you know, a couple of weeks later they come through and cut it and let it dry out a little bit more and then harvest it. But so it is, and apparently the wheat growers do the same thing, and I don't know if the soybean growers do the same thing. But not only is it used to control, you know, the weeds while the plants are growing, especially the genetically modified crops that have specific tolerance to Roundup.
I mean, that's why they're genetically modified, isn't it?
I mean, that's one of the reasons why they're genetically modified.
Monsanto makes Roundup, and Monsanto makes GMO seed.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And the purpose is to, you know, make the plant tolerant to Roundup so that they can spray their fields and not have to worry about, you know, spraying their crops because they, you know, the crops won't die if they if they spray it with Roundup. So it controls the weeds, and you know, the crops survive. And then they give this one last dose, apparently, of glyphosate before, like I said, before they harvest.
Now, does Roundup also protect against like corn earworms and other pests? Or is it simply an herbicide, strictly an herbicide?
That's a different GMO modification. That's a different genetic modification. With the corn, for example, there's BT corn, and that's a toxin that's found in a bacteria, for example, that gene is incorporated into the corn.
Okay.
And when the worms start eating the corn, they ingest this, it's actually a protein, that gets made as the corn is growing, that they ingest it, and it kills the worm. So they, you know, you got kind of a, built-in protection against
it disturbs me just a little bit to think that there's stuff in the corn that would kill a living thing, but it's okay for me to eat it.
One would think, because this particular protein is a very hardy protein, and it studies have actually been shown that you do ingest it, and it does get incorporated into your cells, but it gets incorporated into your body, and then your body, you know, has this natural defense against it, but it can't really destroy it, so it hangs around for a long period of time, causing medical problems as well.
But if I'm ever attacked by corn earworms.
Oh, you'll be in great shape. Away, you know, just eat a lot clean. Of corn, and then you'll be, you know, the worms won't eat you.
That's good news.
So there you go.
Well, Roundup, herbicides, glyphosates. I'm suspecting that if they spray that all over wheat and all over grapeseed, which is, I think, where canola oil comes from, and corn fields, that there's a lot of it around us, huh? What happens to it?
Well, it actually is a residual inside the grain, for example, or inside the oil. If you, both in corn oil and in BT, also gets carried into the corn oil. But glyphosate gets carried into you know, the corn, the wheat, the soybeans, any other, you know, product they're putting this into. And we ingest it, and it causes problems to our system. Some of the problems, for example, are glyphosate works. It's a compound that actually chelates metals, and so it scavenges the metals inside the organism. Whether, you know, in this case, it's a plant that you know, they're trying to stop growing and to kill, and then the plant doesn't have its essential. Nutrients, for example.
So it withholds those metals from absorption by the plant.
Right.
Okay. It's chelate. Indirect. I'm not sure what chelate means. So.
Yeah, it chelates. It's a heavy chelator, and it chelates those metals. So when you ingest it, for example, the first thing it does is it starts chelating metals inside of you. And that's not a good thing because, you know, we were told, well, you got to take your vitamins and minerals. Well, you're not getting the minerals in the plants that have been sprayed with glyphosate because studies have been shown that, for example, calcium in corn in the genetically modified corn is on the order of 400 times less in the glyphosate-treated corn than in the non-glyphosate-treated corn, as well as magnesium and several of the other essential you know, elements that we need in order to survive and our bodies to function and life to go on. So it starts chelating. But the other thing that it does, because of its antimicrobial properties, antibacterial properties, is it begins to destroy your flora, the bacteria, the thousands, millions of bacteria that are in your gut. So those are the first things that go, and you start winding up with colitis and irritable bowel syndrome and all kinds of intestinal problems that get attributed to other factors, when in fact most of it is probably caused by the glyphosate. So if you took the glyphosate out of your system and stopped eating genetically modified products, then you would probably recover and, of course, take probiotics in order to rebuild your bacterial, mm-hmm. The concentrations of healthy bacteria in your system. Those problems would probably go away within, a couple of weeks. Or a month or so.
How long have glyphosate been around? And for that matter, GMO corn and other GMO. I think there's GMO wheat as well, isn't there?
Yeah. Yes, there's wheat. Mm-hmm. There's soy.
Mm-hmm. Well, anything they would spray with Roundup needs to be GMO, really, because it's cheaper to spray the whole field than to spray selective plants.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Well, you can't do that.
And for example, it. Well, I think the Monsanto started promoting this in the 80s. I believe 83 was the year that the product was introduced. So, since 83, this has been a problem in our food chain, and it's only gotten worse because mm-hmm. it's used by the thousands and thousands of tons, if not billions of tons, a year in our food supply. And like I said, it's anybody who that they would test, except for a purist person that only eats organic food, would find this in their system. Mm-hmm. And it not only comes from the grain itself. Well, it comes from the grain itself, but beef and chicken and any animal, for example, that is fed genetically modified corn or wheat or oats or whatever, would have glyphosate in their tissue. So when you go to the supermarket to get that nice thick juicy steak, it has glyphosate in it itself. And it survives the cooking process, and so you get it, from the meat that you eat as well. So you could say, well, I'm just not going to eat the corn, eat corn or eat wheat because I'm allergic to wheat, and I have all these problems when I eat wheat. Well, the problem that you have for eating wheat is probably not the what you think it is, but it's probably the glyphosate in the wheat. But then you go and you purchase the beef and the chicken, and it's pretty well got this material in it. Now, interestingly, back in the early research days when glyphosate was being investigated by Monsanto, they did a rat study and found that it was carcinogenic when fed to the rats. And if you feed it, if you feed it to them, it's not immediately carcinogenic. Of course, it takes time for carcinogens to get built up and to start showing its effect. But they started seeing some effects about 20 months, but by the time they got to 24 months, a lot of their rats were dying, and a lot of them had different types of carcinoma. Mm-hmm. And but the research, when they actually went to submit the product to the FDA, they stopped the... They submitted the data up to 20 months. They didn't go the 26 months because it was quite detrimental to their product approval,
to their investment,
and to their investment. That's right. And so they submitted only the data up to a certain period of time. Didn't submit the whole study, which in itself, of course, is unethical. But then they you know, told the FDA that they wanted this study locked down and not being made available to the public, which the FDA apparently gladly, you know, complied with.
Good guys who were at the FDA, yeah.
Right. And so, you know, the folks that are supposed to be protecting you from this is, for whatever reason, is, you know, not protecting us, but is helping in the cover-up of this particular thing.
They just read a story that suggested, or at least there was a nomination for a former executive at Monsanto was going to be the head of the FDA. Now, I don't know I'm not sure if he was approved or not. I didn't catch that part of the story.
Well, in previous programs that we've done on this particular product, Monsanto has a history of getting people into the FDA. Mm-hmm. So they'll get a lawyer into the FDA to work in their specific field that, you know, loyal would get experience in the FDA and help, you know, push their products through and then come back and work for Monsanto, you know, which you would think would be a conflict of interest, a great conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. But apparently this type of practice is not, it's certainly not uncommon for Monsanto. I don't know how many other companies do this, but it would not surprise me one bit that Monsanto executive would then become the FDA, one of the FDA executives. I was reading, I don't know if it's become a bill yet, but some legislation going through Congress that would essentially hold these companies that are, you know, making these products that are affecting our food supply, for example, hold them harmless from any liability from their products. This is it's just unthinkable that anyone in Congress would go for such a thing, you know, unless there is some, you know, money being handed under the table type of stuff.
Quid pro quo, yeah.
You know, it's just unfathomable that this type of thing would go on. But in the day that we're living in, it seems like anything goes if you pad my pocket, or if you keep me in government.
Well, is what we're saying about glyphosate common knowledge now, or not?
It's not common. These ill effects of the glyphosate is not common. Hmm. I mean, it's common to those people that, you know, would read, for example, would go to McCullough's website, because he has often articles, you know, by different people who he is interviewing. In this case, it's Dr. Samsel.
They're typically scientists themselves. Yeah, they're.
Yeah,
or medical doctors.
And mm-hmm. Dr. Samsel has been investigating, for example, glyphosate for a long, long time, has been responsible for uncovering a lot of, a lot of these things. Unless you go to, our alternative type of news sources, in medical sources like Mercola's website, for example, it would be hard to find the material because it's not in the published, it's not even in the scientific journals, for example, unless you go to Europe. In Europe has many articles against the ill effects of GMO products.
Well, they've banned GMO products in Europe, haven't they?
They have.
Yeah, we they won't buy seed from us.
No, and if it's contaminated, China won't even buy, you know, the seed from us. So that tells you something, you know, that, China certainly not, doesn't care about its people all that much. But that tells you something when, a major government like China won't buy your products if it's found to be contaminated with glyphosate or other, you know, other things that we commonly use in our agricultural practices. So, yeah, this is a very big problem. It's glyphosate has all kinds of negative effects. As I said, not only does it disrupt your gut flora, promotes and gives you cancer, the plants that, for example, that are treated with this, their vitamin levels, their fat levels, for example, omega-3s are much depleted in glyphosate. So is it when the glyphosate is used? So isn't any wonder that, you know, most of America is suffering from a lack of omega-3, which would naturally be in the beef and would naturally be in the plants that we would eat. But, you know, this completely suppresses the formation of the good stuff. And it apparently promotes the production of the bad stuff. For example, it doesn't kill every bacteria in your gut. It only kills the good bacteria, and it leaves the bad bacteria so that you can get disease easier. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? It's mm-hmm. not bad. It's not bad enough that it's killing my good flora. It's mm-hmm. killing. It's allowing and feeding the bad bacteria that are in my stomach. So yeah, this is pretty nasty stuff, and of course, Mercola on his website always promotes the organizations that are trying to get GMO products labeled, so that the American consumer could at least say this is made with genetically modified products. But is also trying to, promote the banning of the use of glyphosate, for example, in agricultural practices.
By the way, this article will be linked in our podcast with Dr. Don on the website later this morning. It'll be posted in an hour or two. There is a hopeful note here in the article, though, and he's talking about the EPA said the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency recently announced that the U.S. regulators may start testing for glyphosate residues in the near future due to rising consumer concerns about the health impact of this chemical. So what that suggests to me is if you are concerned, that you let the EPA know, and maybe the USDA know, let your congressman know. And meanwhile, the Organic Consumers Association, the OCA, has joined forces with the Feed the World Project, launching the world's first glyphosate testing for the general public. And to quote them, the OCA, the project, with specific focus on women and children in the U.S., is offering the first ever validated public glyphosate testing for urine, water, and soon breast milk. The testing OCA, Feed the World, and many other organizations will begin offering, this is back in April they started, will allow everyone who wants to know whether or not and to what extent they personally have been exposed to glyphosate. Hmm. So there's information that needs to get out yet.
Is it possible, Don, that one of the things that I've always had is I get bloated from regular milk. And it seems like the higher the fat content, the worse. But ice cream doesn't bother me. And it's always been very, very weird. Is it possible that it could be glyphosate residue in one of the product and not the other?
Well, I don't see how that would be, the case, especially with ice cream, where you're not. I mean, you're cooking it for a while, mm-hmm. but cooking it's not going to destroy, the product. Mm. Even the metabolite of glyphosate is toxic. It's you get kind of a two for one, hit here. So. Of course, milk, you would find glyphosate in milk on those animals who would eating grain that glyphosate was treated on. Of course, the best thing, it would be interesting to see if you and I don't know if you've done this, but to try organic milk, for example. Go to your local organic food store and see if organic milk has the same problems.
Well, organic milk, or there's raw milk, but it's hard to find raw milk in Minnesota because of state regulations. They cannot sell it. You have to go to the farmer.
Would raw milk make any difference? It would still have glyphosate.
Yeah, it would have to be organic raw milk.
Okay, organic now, and raw. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but raw milk is certainly far superior. It actually, this is another interesting interesting story. It's not necessarily glyphosate related, but it is from the point of view that the fats, when you homogenize milk. Of course, the end result is that you don't want the cream to separate from, you know, from the milk.
That's the purpose. This does not remove the fat, does it?
It doesn't. It does not remove the fat. What it actually does is break the fat particles up into very tiny little particles that it then can be homogenized by the protein in the milk. So, in other words, it's instead of, you know, coming out of suspension, for example, if you let raw milk sit, you're going to have a layer of cream on top, but it breaks it up into tiny little particles. Well, what does that do when you digest, you know, homogenized milk? Well, it allows all of the fat to be absorbed. And what normally, for example, you know, 4%, you know, fat is not uncommon in milk. It would allow all of that fat to be absorbed into your system, and it is in a form that you know starts doing damage to your intestinal, you know. Walls, for example, there is a fat soluble enzyme called you know, xanthane that actually gets passed into your bloodstream through these little fat particles and starts making little pits into your on your blood vessel walls. So studies have been shown that that causes arteriosclerosis. Because, you know, body wants to naturally start repairing itself, so it starts, the first thing that it does, it lays down cholesterol. And so then you got a little bump in the inside of your intestinal wall. Well, the more of, you know, this type of milk that you drink, then the more of those little pits. And it's been shown that even in young children were developing arteriosclerosis from the milk that they were drinking.
So, of course, we've been drinking that all of our lives.
The bottom line is you probably get more of the glyphosate that, you know, is in the milk, in homogenized milk, and raw milk would... allows most of the fat to pass through. So the same 4% milk, for example, that is not homogenized, but it, you know, is raw, you would only absorb like, you know, 1% at most, you know, from it, not the full-fledged 4%. So you would get a little less, a lot less of the fat, and it would have, you know, a deleterious effect, you know, to your system.
And that doesn't even get us into pasteurization, does it? That's another whole topic.
Pasteurization is, you know, obviously it's the milk is heated and cooled and heated and cooled a number of times in order to try to you know, kill some of the bacteria that the natural bacteria that would be in the milk.
You asked a question, or we were wondering about Monsanto's legislation activities. The Monsanto Protection Act, and that's not its real name. but what the critics term it, the Monsanto Protection Act, was a part of a continuing resolution in 2013, and Barack the First, otherwise known as President Obama, signed it into law, and it was for 6 months though, and it sunsetted in September 13. I don't believe it's, at least according to this, has not been revitalized. Introduced by Senator Roy Blunt from Missouri, who had gotten a you know, just a coincidence, he got a $64,000 donation to his election campaign or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was, in essence, what you say, it was to shield Monsanto and its creations from lawsuits in federal courts.
So, interesting. Mm. Interesting.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Once again, we will cite this article, link to it in the podcast today. That'll be up on BrokenRoadRadio.com here in a couple of hours. Dr. Don, thanks for ruining the sweet corn season, which is just ahead here in Minnesota.
Well, try to find organically grown corn you can.
Yeah, well, the thing is, even when farmers try to grow organic corn, there's so much GMO corn around, it cross-pollinates.
Contaminates.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you wind up with GMO corn wherever you go. I don't know how farmers fight that. I mean, same with wheat.
The organically grown, that you cannot use glyphosate.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you can't get your fields certified or your product certified as organic if you've used glyphosate on your fields mm-hmm. within a 3-year period. So you got to wait 3 years for this stuff to degrade, suficiently enough so that it doesn't show up in your product.
But if you have GMO corn a mile down in the holler there, and the wind is blowing right, you're going to wind up with GMO corn anyway. That means you got to test it all the time, I would think. Or at least each season.
Call Monsanto, and they'll gladly test it and then sue you for not paying their royalties.
That's right. No, okay. Well, it's an article at Mercola.com. I think you'll find it interesting and disturbing, but it's news you need to know. And the videos to go along with it, some very articulate discussion on the question of glyphosates and GMO products in general. And I'm thankful that Mercola's out there. He's a real campaigner. I mean, he's after this stuff. And the more attention we can get him, I think the better we are. Because if nothing else, you can read for yourself, learn for yourself, and make your own mind up. Yeah, but I'm reluctant to take the word of the FDA or Monsanto itself or their staff, their legal staff, on what's safe and what's not. It just disturbs me to do that. So
you're becoming a real rebel.
I think I am. I think I am.
You just the government's there to help you, you know? Come on now.
Yeah.
You know, they're on your side. I got one more question, Don. Is there anything that we can do as individuals on this end of it to counteract some of the stuff that's been implanted in our colons and our nether regions? Is there some way we can flush out or clean out or, I don't know, power wash or something that would counteract some of the stuff that you're talking about? Or once the damage has been done, that's it?
Yeah, no, it's not it. Our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God in his infinite wisdom has designed all kinds of repair mechanisms within our bodies, and that's helping us stay alive as long as we do live today. The first thing is, look for organics, look for organic products, look for organic fruits and vegetables, look for organic beef, organic milk. If you're a milk drinker, that's the first thing that you can do. You can fermented foods, naturally fermented foods, mm-hmm. Offer a tremendous benefit to kimchi, as well as, of course, natural fermented natural yogurt has beneficial bacteria in it and can help break down some of the glyphosate that's in your system. Seafood, for example, wild-caught seafood, not farm-raised seafood. Farm-raised seafood is a toxic cesspool, basically, because not only do you have glyphosate, but you've got all kinds of pesticides that wind up it being concentrated in the fats of the of the farm-raised seafood. But wild-caught salmon, for example, from Alaska, is probably one of your better seafood to eat. It's low mercury, type of fish is also, because mercury is obviously a concern. Mm-hmm. Because our environment. Make sure you're drinking filtered water. Do not drink water out of your tap. Because of the stuff that the municipalities, municipal water suppliers, are putting into the water. So make sure you get a RO system or, some highly efficient filter system.
The RO would be reverse osmosis, right?
Yeah. That's correct.
Okay.
So there's a number of things, nonstick pots and pans, replace those. Either use mm-hmm. stainless steel, glass, or ceramic, for cooking with. It's just a list of things that you can do. But the best thing is just to start replacing some of your diet with the organic fruits mm-hmm. and vegetables, and beef where you can find it, and chicken where you can find it, and that will go a long way. And of course, use probiotic, get good healthy bacteria to replace your gut flora with the good stuff.
And of course, by doing that, you're supporting the organic food industry too, and there will be more and more organic product available if we start buying more and more of it. That's the way the system works, at least to this point. And of course, it gets so big and so profitable, though, that then the bad guys will take that over, too. So I don't know what to tell you there. We can keep organic. That's a nice thought. Don Clark from Creation Moments. I want to mention to you the Creation Moments website as well, creationmoments.com. A wealth of information there for scientific information on young earth creationism. You might want to take a look and read some of that stuff over, and again, make up your own mind. But it's science that does not get a whole lot of exposure. I think you'd be surprised at some of the good news you find there, and some of the scary things too. Don, take care of yourself. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, very good. Well, I'll be out in the fields if you need me.
keep away from them glyphosates, though.
Okay. Good luck, Don.
Yes. All right, well, thank you. Some of my grapes are already turning.
Oh, just happened to think. I just also found that the Vigneron also is the name of a Belgian submachine gun.
The Vigneron? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's the name of the company.
Okay, well.
Just a thought.
Wonder if they make a Cabernet model, perhaps.
I think so.